Luke. Chapter 10. I picked a couple of verses, 17 through 19, because they really, not so much to tear them apart as it is to use them to emphasize a couple of points. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Dragon Slayer. Dragon Slayer. Thus saith the Lord. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Before we look at this text, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to walk amongst us. Spirit of God, we come to this to the preaching of your word, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak directly to your people through me. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart here. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray it would please you to draw that one to the Lord Jesus Christ. For his glory, your glory, and their good. Speak to every heart here. Where conviction is needed, bring conviction. Where comfort is needed, bring comfort. We thank you and ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Dragon Slayer. Let me begin by telling you something that when, from a pulpit's point of view, and I am a wordsmith, and from a pulpit's point of view, I've always thought that words were better than pictures because words can make a mind picture in the person's mind. But every Sunday that I stand here and we talk about different spiritual things in Scripture, they're words. And sometimes when you do that long enough, you need to see something that makes it real. Although it is real, it may not. You may not leave here with a real view of it. And so I want to talk to you this morning about Satan, our enemy, our archenemy, actually. And I want to tell you that he is as real as rain. Now, I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember Flip Wilson, but when he did something wrong, he never took the blame. He said, the devil made me do it. The devil gets a bad rap for a lot of things, but he is a pretty bad hombre. Very bad. As bad as it gets. And he's as real as rain. You should make no mistake about that. The spiritual realm is as real as rain. Principalities and powers, demons, devils, they're still in the world today. We just sung a hymn, and it says the world was filled with them. Jesus said that they were in the world. The Bible talks about it from the beginning to the end. And I dare say nowhere in the Bible is there a check mark or is there a point where he says, okay, there's no more demons in the world. We just let Satan roam around a little bit. They're everywhere. Spiritual warfare is as real as rain. And the problem is we tend to look at those words that I just said as words. Yeah, spiritual warfare, demons, devils, this, that, and the other. The Bible is the sword. All of this stuff are words. Well, this morning, I took the liberty of bringing a first century Roman sword. This is the sword that the Romans used in Christ's day. This is a replica, but it's real. It's exactly the same. It's very dull, but it's exactly the same type of sword that the Roman soldiers used in Jesus' day. And I want to, as I give you this message this morning, I want to take this sword, and I want to leave it out. I want you to see it. Because when I talk to you about spiritual things, I want you to understand that the spiritual things I'm referring to are just as real as that sword is. Just as real. And now you have an image of it. Now, I think I've mentioned to you before that I'm not a thematic preacher except at Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, I have to laugh at that. I really don't like to be a thematic preacher, but this year I was really led to do that. Normally, I wait for God. And earlier this week, as is my practice, I was waiting on the Lord to give me the menu board for this morning's meal. I looked at my calendar, beginning of the week, and I saw a reminder notice that yesterday, Saturday, was my spiritual 22nd birthday. That is, I got saved 22 years ago, at 2:45 in the afternoon, to be exact. And the very moment I saw that note on the calendar, I thanked the Lord because I've never gotten over my salvation. I'm like a child. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's like I have the greatest promises in the world, and for once in my life, they're kept. You know, when you're a kid, people promise you, even as adults, oh, yeah, we'll do this and we'll do that, and they don't keep them. This book keeps all their promises, and I just have never gotten over that. So it's my 22nd birthday. I saw it, and in that instant that I saw it, after I gave thanks to the Lord, that instant my mind went back in time before I was saved to a small barbershop in Meriden, Connecticut. In my mind's eye, there was a nice Italian guy there. He did a great job on my hair because I had hair back then. And he had a small barbershop. He had two chairs. He had a mirror. And on the left side of the mirror, in front of the barber's chair, was a picture. It's the picture you have in your bulletin. It's the picture of St. George. That's who the crusader is, St. George. And it shows him putting to death Satan. And I thought to myself, although I was dead to the spiritual things of God, I love to hunt. I'm a hunter. I've hunted since I was a child. I love to hunt. So I thought naively to myself, man, I'd love to hunt a dragon about that size. I wonder how the head would look on my wall. And here I am, 22 years later, standing in the pulpit, filled with the Holy Spirit and indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And as God is my witness, I can stand before all of you today and testify that over the last 22 years, I have slain that dragon many times. I have. I didn't do it with this sword. I did it with this one. And I can also testify before you, and God is my witness, that during that time, he got the glory. And I can stand here and tell you and testify that I am, in every sense of the word, I am a dragon slayer. And I can also tell you that I'm not the only one that's a dragon slayer. I can tell you every born again, Bible believing, sword swinging, God loving believer is a dragon slayer. I can tell you that. Now, you may not think that of yourself. You may look around and say, well, I'm not much of a dragon slayer, but you are. You know how I know you are? Because you're commanded as a Christian to fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. If you're fighting the good fight of faith, then you are, in every sense of the word, a dragon slayer, and that's as real as this sword right here. And I would also remind you, next time you go to the spiritual armory in Ephesians 6, look up over the armory door and see what it says in verses 12 and 13. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, that would be the dragon, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's the inscription when you get into the armory. And I would have you note something. He lists the enemy, the rulers of the darkness, the dragon, and the spiritual host of wickedness would be his minions. And it says, therefore, these are the spirits that you're fighting against, and they too are as real as this sword. He says, take up the whole armor of God. He doesn't say take the helmet, take the breastplate. He doesn't say just take the sword. Take it all. Don't leave here without being all fully body armor as well as your sword. Take it all. And then when we look at our text, we see that the text itself, it empowers us to fight against and get the victory over demons. Look at verse 17. It testifies, Lord, the 70 said, or the 72, depending on your translation, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Let me ask you, think that's changed? You think the demons are still not subject to you as God's children? You're no different than the 72. They are subject to you. Look at verse 18. Here we get the authority and the promise of protection as we fight the dragon. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It may kill you, but it won't hurt you. And the reason I say that is because nothing can hurt you, because you are God's children, and the very moment you leave this realm, you enter a spiritual realm of glory. So nothing can hurt you. And verse 19, our Savior testifies that the victory over the dragon, Satan, is assured. Why? Because he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That means Satan was defeated. Defeated by him. And because you are in him, you share in that victory over the dragon. That's why you're all dragon slayers. Beloved, these are omnipotent, irrevocable, and immutable promises in our text, given to the elect by God, by a sovereign God. This isn't just a book of words that somebody wrote, and you know, the promises, and they may work out, they may not work out. This is the sovereign God who is, again, as real as this sword, and that sovereign God has assured you of victory, and nothing will hurt you. That's the claim. And it comes from somebody who can back it up. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk to you about your role as a dragon slayer. Now, it sounds in the 21st century, oh, a dragon slayer. It's as real as rain. To begin with, you must understand that the dragon has an army of minions that prowl the earth every single day trying to destroy, disable, or debilitate God's children. And proof verses abound throughout Scripture. You can go all the way back to Genesis 3, 4, and 6. The dragon first sank his teeth into mankind in the Garden of Eden. He bit him good, didn't he? We all have the scars of that bite. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. That's as real as rain. You know how you know that's true? Because every single one of you were lost at some point in time, and now you're saved. And you can see the difference, and that's as real as this sword. You are the living proof that that's real. In 1 Chronicles 21, chapter 21, verse 1, look at how the dragon took a bite out of King David. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number the entire earth, to number Israel. One day David David always won his battles, right? He always went to the Lord. The Lord told him when to fight, when not to. And he would fight for him. He had a wonderful relationship. But one day, the dragon came in and influenced him. In the book of Job, we learn that the dragon's hunting grounds are the entire earth. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Job 1:7. He said the same thing in Job 2. He's walking on the earth every moment of the day. Now you got to remember something. He doesn't have to eat. He doesn't have to sleep. He's got nothing he wants to do except destroy God's people. Period. That's his only motive in life. That's his only thing he wants to do on this planet. And you're part of that. You're part of those people. He's looking to debilitate, to destroy, or to disable. He wants to do that. And he does it in a myriad of different ways. How about Zechariah 3:1? Here he's seen standing next to God's high priest. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. So think about it in your life. How many times you have come in contact and you have felt the opposition of evil in your life? You felt something there. It was as real as this. You felt it. You knew it. And even our Lord Jesus Christ, even he had to contend with the dragon, didn't he? In the wilderness, in Matthew 4:23, it is written, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He could have said anything, but he knew he was thirsty and he knew he was hungry. So he used the thing he thought would get a result. And that's exactly what he does with us. Now, it may not be him directly, but it's him or his army or both. I would also have you note that the dragon doesn't just hunt for those people I just spoke of who are in high spiritual positions. He doesn't just go after them. He hunts for anyone who is a child of God. Anyone. You and me. In Luke 13:16, Jesus testifies that the dragon bound a woman with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and in defending his actions in the temple of healing this woman, he testified, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Shouldn't that happen? Because previous to that, he said, don't you go out and water your donkeys and your livestock and take them? Shouldn't this woman be healed on the Sabbath if you do that other stuff on a Sabbath? Satan bound her for 18 years. I think of the woman with the issue of blood. You can go through Scripture and see all the people that were afflicted. And now, how about Acts 5? Verse 3 and verses 8 through 10. Here we see that the dragon sank his teeth into Ananias and Sapphira to the point of death. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price for the land yourself? And in verse 9, we see the dragon also bit his wife's. She said, then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look at the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her out by her husband. That's as real as rain. Death is as real as rain. Ananias and Sapphira, just as real as you and I are. David, King David, just as real as you and I are. I give you these biblical proofs for a reason. I do that because I want you to know, as a believer, you're going to fight the dragon and his minions whether you like it or not. There's no choice. It's sort of like being a Marine, you know? When you're a Marine, you go through training, they bring you to a battlefield, you go, and you either win or die. It's that simple. And in the Christian realm, it's much different. In the sense being that you fight the battle like a Marine, except you have the victory won. They don't. You have the victory won in Christ. You can't lose. Even if you lose your life, you don't lose. You can't lose anything. You're going to fight the dragon or his minions, whether you like it or not. So you better realize that if you are born again, you were born to be a dragon slayer. It's in your spiritual DNA. And you better understand that the dragon and his minions are on the prowl for anyone who is carrying the cross of Christ. If you're actively carrying that cross of Christ, they're coming to look for you. It's like a light drawing a moth. Although they're darkness, they see you. And they want nothing better than to torment you, to tempt you. Listen to what 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says about that. Carrying the cross. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And that last part, the brotherhood in the world, he means everybody. Every Christian suffers. It's a gift to suffer. Philippians 1:29. For it is given unto you to suffer for Christ. It's a gift. Fighting the devil. Christ fought the devil. It's a gift for you to be able to fight. And the sword you wield, this sword just kills. That's all that this sword right here does. This sword has no benefit except it's like a gun. A gun has one purpose, to kill. This weapon has one purpose, to kill. This sword has one purpose, to kill and to give life. And you have it. And they know it. And so you are dragon slayers, whether you believe it or not, or whether you like it or not. It's in your DNA. That being said, there's really no reason to be anxious about what I just told you about spiritual warfare. Why? Well, because of what our text promises us. He says, I give you the authority, that's Jesus speaking, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, that would be a dragon, scorpions, or over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That comes from the mouth of God. Nothing's going to hurt you. You have no reason to be anxious. Actually, you should look forward to it. You go up to any Marine and you ask them, and they are in a warfare, and they come out of that warfare, you ask them what happens. I'll never be the same because I learned, I know how to take care of myself. And every single time you slay the dragon in your life, every time you do that, you bear fruit for the Father in heaven, you glorify him, and you show yourself how much you love him. But if you take the sword and you put it away, and that spiritual warfare comes into your life, and you blow it off, or you say, brothers and sisters, pray for me. I can't take this. I can't handle it. I need your help. We'll be there. But you still got to pick up the sword. You still have to take that sword and drive it through the serpent's head. You have to do it, metaphorically speaking. And how do you do that? You do that with faith. You do that every single time a sin crops up in your heart. You kill it. Now, you kill it in a metaphorical sense means you hate it so much it's as good as dead to you. You know, the Godfather, I think, in one of the scenes was like that. If you did something the Godfather didn't like, you were el muerte. You were dead to him. He didn't want nothing to do with you. He didn't exist. If he saw you, he wouldn't even look at you. Well, that's how you have to be with sin. You have no reason to be anxious. God has got your back. He's your backup. In the text, in that text, that you shall trample on serpents and scorpions. There's a backup verse to that, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Very clear, meat and potatoes clear. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Now, if we just read Psalm 91 and he says that his angel is there protecting you, and God says that he's going to guard you from the evil one, you just swing that spiritual sword, you swing that left and right, up and down, and you kill it. That's what you do to dragons, spiritual dragons. You kill them. And Romans 8:31 promises, if God is for us, who's going to be against us? You think the devil stands a chance with God? No. You think he stands a chance with you if you confront him with faith? No. So although you don't have a horse, I'm looking at the picture again. So although you don't have a horse, and he's using a hunting lance, and you don't have a hunting lance, and the guy's name, by the way, is Saint George. Although you don't have his horse or a hunting lance like Saint George and bullet and insert, you do have the spiritual firepower, the sword of the Lord, and the armor to be as much of a dragon slayer as he is in that depiction. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that fighting any type of evil, be it the dragon, be it his minions, your will, or your flesh, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that the key to that is that it requires faith and it requires perseverance. Faith and perseverance. Every dragon slayer must exercise faith. You must believe. 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have to believe that. You have to believe that if you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, no dragon, no demon, no principality and power, no human being, no flesh, no will can harm you because he is in you. You must believe. You must have confidence. You must have confidence, not in this sword, but in this sword. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's what he was referring to. Piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You have to believe that. You have to believe the power that's in this book can be transferred from this book to you because you have the mind of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you have the promise that you can do it. And the dragon slayer must be strong. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, which means being strong means that you have to be courageous in your battle against the dragon and all manner of evil. You have to be courageous and strong to face it. You know what a lot of people do? A lot of people get the sin in their heart, or they go under spiritual attack, and they do this thing. It's like, put your hands over your head and don't look and don't fight back, and maybe it'll go away. Until God finally has to intercede, and he'll remove those demons from you. He'll take them away, but he does it as in a form of chastisement. He brings to your mind something. He puts something in your life that brings to your mind what you're doing and how you need to stop doing that and get back where you need to be with your first love. That's how he does it. You need to be courageous and you need to be strong when you're fighting the spiritual fights that you're going to face every day. And you need to depend on the strength and rely on him and not on yourself. Psalm 28:7, one of my favorite verses. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. A lot of people don't face the spiritual reality of where they are with God. And if you're not doing that, then you're already out of service. You know, taxi cabs have the light out of service. Well, spiritual people have the same light. And if you're not doing what you should be doing, I'm telling you that that light is on, and all the demons say, well, we don't have to bother with that one because that one's already let itself become get out of the fight. We don't have to do anything. You need to use God's strength. And lastly, every dragon slayer must persevere in their faith in battles. You have to persevere. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. James 1:12 reminds us, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So every battle you fight,